הלב נמשך, אני בוכה להישאר, הכל כדאי, אני חי בארץ ישראל. This is my home, this is the place to be, מרגיש את אלוקי כמי כמי, אז תעלה אחי ושב איתי. This is my home, זה המקום.
You're listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast, hosted by Josh Wander.
Welcome back to Bring Them Home. This is Josh Wander from Yerushalayim, Yer HaKodesh. Today, almost the Erev Pesach, Rav Nachman Kahana is on vacation for the holiday, and therefore we will be reading from his book, With All Your Might, and he entitles this piece, A Tale of Two Cities, A Tale of Two Worlds. Picture a Frum family living in any one of the great Torah centers in the Galut. They could even be your next-door neighbors. The home of Reb Sender and Mrs. Reza is impeccable. The result of the great time and energy, not to speak of the money, which the expeditious and skillful Ba'alat HaBayit, the woman of the house, has devoted to it. The sofas and armchairs in the sitting room, which look so inviting, if not for the thick plastic covers which ensure that the upholstery retains its new look. The 5-meter-long dining room table is covered with the finest Irish linen tablecloth. In the middle of the table stands the imposing sterling silver candlesticks handed down from mother to daughter for generations. The china is the finest Rosenthal, with each plate delicately rounded off with a band of gold. The silverware has been put away in favor of goldware in honor of the great night. On the table, under a hand-embroidered silk cloth, lay the matzot. On the insistence of the two sons learning in the recently opened yeshiva Taharas HaTorah in Las Vegas, in order to bring the voice of Torah even to the entrance of Gehenim, the matzot are from the first 18-minute batch, guaranteeing that no naughty piece of dough would be hiding in any of the rollers. The hand matzot were personally chosen by the Rebbe of the Shtiebel, where the family davens since leaving the central shul, which was costing too much. The Rebbe assured the boys that the matzot were bubble-free with no overturned edges. The wall-to-wall carpet is as deep as grows the grass in the beautiful garden. Above the table hangs the family's pride and joy, a many-faceted silver chandelier personally chosen by Reza on the family's last visit to Prague. Reb Sender is wearing his new bekesha, the one with the swirls of blue with a gold-buckled gartel. Reza has just said the Shehechiyanu blessing over the $3,000 dress imported from Paris. The boys are handsome in their wide-brimmed black hats, and the two girls will make beautiful kalas when the time comes, dressed in their very expensive dresses. The Seder goes better than expected. Words of Torah, beginning with an invitation to the hungry to join with them in the meal, despite the fact that there is not a needy person within 50 miles. A lively discussion develops on the characters of the four sons. The Afikoman is stolen by the youngest daughter, who, for its return, has succeeded in extorting from Abba a vacation in Hawaii. Songs of thanks to Hashem for freeing the Jewish people from slavery in Egypt are recited, for it is a mitzvah on this night for each person to consider himself as if he or she were slaves in Mitzrayim. Birkat HaMazon is said, as is the second part of Hallel. Chagiga puts the final touch on the mitzvot of the night. Now, just as Hashem destroys the angel of death in the song, Father jumps up and, gathering the family in a circle, they all break out in a frenzy of song. Lishana haba b'Yerushalayim, Lishana haba b'Yerushalayim, Lishana haba b'Yerushalayim, b'Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. Again and again, around the table, Lishana haba b'Yerushalayim is sounded. Louder and louder, until their song merges with the same melody resounding from the neighbors' homes, cutting a path into the highest realms of heaven. Suddenly, Mama collapses in a chair, crying hysterically. The singing stops. Father runs over and asks why she is crying just now at the apex of this beautiful sacred night. "Well, what do you mean next year in Yerushalayim? What about the table, the chandelier, the deep carpet, the Rosenthal china? How can we leave all this?" Father approaches Mama and, taking her hand while gently dabbing her tears away, in a voice full of compassion, says to his beloved wife, "Darling, don't cry. It's only a song." 10,000 kilometers to the east, in Eretz Yisrael, lives Rav Sender's brother, Kalman. Kalman had moved to Eretz Yisrael many years ago and was blessed with a beautiful family and an adequate apartment. His son, Yossi, will not be home for the Seder night since he is doing his army service within the Hesder Yeshiva system. But the parents are not overly worried because Yossi himself told them that he is in a safe place in the north and that next year they will all be together for the Seder. At 12 noon on the 14th of Nisan, Erev Pesach, Yossi and three other soldiers from the same yeshiva were called to the company commander's room, where he informed them that they had been chosen to fill an assignment that evening on the Seder night. They were to cross the border into Hezbollah territory in southern Lebanon and man the outpost bunker on Hill 432. Yossi knew the hill well. He had been there several times in the past year. It was sarcastically called a bunker, but in reality, it was nothing more than a foxhole large enough for four soldiers. Their assignment was to track terrorist movements and destroy them on contact. It was tolerable, except when it rained, which caused the bottom of the hole to be soggy and muddy. But today, the four hoped that it would rain, even though chances were small since it was late in the season. On the 14th of every Hebrew month, the moon is full, which presents a greater danger when crossing into enemy territory. So rain would be a mixed blessing. At 5 p.m., they were given the necessary arms and ammunition. In addition, the army rabbinate had provided them with four plastic containers, each holding three matzot and all the ingredients necessary for a seder, as well as four plastic bottles of wine, sufficient for four cups, and of course, a haggadah. At 6 p.m., they waited at the fence for the electricity to be turned off in order to cross into hostile territory. Yossi held in his hand a map of the minefield they would have to cross. It was so strange, Yossi thought. This is the area assigned to the tribe of Naphtali, and we have to enter it crawling on our stomachs. At that moment, 10,000 kilometers to the west, it was 11 a.m., and Yossi's two cousins in New York were just entering the mikveh to prepare for the Pesach holiday. At 6:15 p.m., the small aperture in the gate opened, and they had passed through. As they had hoped, it was raining, and the thick fog was to their advantage. The four soldiers reached Hill 432 after walking double time for 5 kilometers. They removed the camouflage and settled in, pulled the grassy cover over them. Each soldier was assigned a direction. Talking was forbidden. If any murderers were sighted, a light tap on the soldier would bring them all to the proper direction. After settling in, they prayed Maariv and began the Seder. It was finished within a half an hour, and not unexpectedly, the 4 cups of wine had no detrimental effect on their senses. At 8 p.m. in New York, the family returned from shul to begin their Seder. It was 3 a.m. in Eretz Yisrael, and the 4 soldiers were waging a heroic battle against boredom and sleep. The minutes crawled by, and at the first approach of light, they exited their outpost, and they returned through the minefield and electric fence to the base. After reporting to the officer in charge, the 4 entered their tent and collapsed on their cots without removing clothing or shoes, because in an hour they would have to begin the Shacharit service. Shabbat Shalom, Nachman Kahana. And it's with this that we wish everybody listening a Chag Kasher V'Sameach. We hope that you are fortunately listening from here in Eretz Yisrael, but perhaps you are still stuck in exile. If so, we encourage you to go to bringthemhome.org.il or our website, itstimetoleave.com. You can also see all of our videos at youtube.com/IsraelTorah. And we encourage you to hit the subscribe button and notification bell. Finally, if you're interested in sponsoring this or any other future episode, we encourage you to do so on our Anchor website. Thank you so much, and have a happy holiday.
Thank you for listening to the Bring Them Home Aliyah podcast. If you identify with our message, please subscribe and tell your friends about us too. You can leave us a review on iTunes, as that really helps us grow. We are available on iTunes, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts. For sponsorship opportunities and for all other inquiries, please email us at bringthemhomeisrael@gmail.com. Check out our website at www.israeltorah.org for more content on this vital topic. This is the place to